Well, big temperature range during the past week. Pretty interesting. Thursday, we had a record high temperature, of course, of 100 degrees. Everybody is sweating it out. Oh, my goodness. It was big news, right? It was the first 100-degree temperature in more than 3 years, going back to May of 2019. And then yesterday morning, we dropped to a record-tying low of 65 degrees officially at the International Airport. So it's been a week of wide-ranging temperatures and not all bad news. The heat wave, so to speak, was really a one-day thing, which if that's what we have to deal with around here all summer long, then we'll take it, right? The temperatures thereafter have not been that bad. We've had a lot of 80s. There's been a steady wind off the Atlantic. There's been a fair amount of cloud cover from time to time. We still, though, are short on that much-needed rainfall. Now, there were a few downpours yesterday south of Jacksonville. In particular, well, it did sneak into the south side as well, but particularly parts of Clay and St. Johns County. And there were a few pockets of a quarter to a half inch and even an isolated spot or two with more than an inch of rain. It was very hit and miss, and it was confined to areas south of I-10, but at least a little bit of rain. And today we'll continue to see widely scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms. The coverage, again, will not be everywhere, but it's a little bit more than yesterday, and that trend will continue the rest of the week so that by the weekend, it looks like everyone should have had at least some rain across northeastern Florida and a few places, of course, some very heavy rainfall this time of year. So we have a general south to southeasterly wind. That's a very humid wind. It's tropical. You're seeing those big towering white and gray cumulus clouds overnight and in the early morning hours, very tropical looking. They move overhead and you get quite a downpour. And then the next thing you know, the sun is out and it's like a sauna, right? So we've got that going. A chance for a shower, even a rumble of thunder near the coast in the morning hours, a tendency to be closer to I-95 by the noon hour, and then west of I-95 during the afternoon. That's the general pattern, but that doesn't mean that the beaches are completely out of the rainfall in the afternoon or evening hours. It's just more widespread the more inland you go. Temperatures will stay in check. I mean, the average high is now in the low 90s. We'll be generally in the upper 80s for the most part this week. They will drop off those temperatures quite a great deal during the rain, and then jump back up again with the sunshine. And then the nighttime lows will be decidedly warmer and more muggy. I mean, we're not going to be cooling off at night like the last few nights. We'll be staying in the 70s. The humidity is high. It's a give and take, right? But at least but the potential for some much-needed rainfall, at least at times and on and off, as we go through this week and into at least the beginning of the holiday weekend. Of course, it's a three-day weekend for many. Some, it's even a four-day weekend. Independence Day on Monday, the 4th of July. Saturday and Sunday, looks like we continue with the scattered shower and thunderstorm weather pattern. It's not a real big change. Generally, a south to southeasterly flow of air, very warm and humid, not washouts, but we'll have to track rainfall the way it looks through a good part of the next, not only few days, but into the weekend. And the tropics are becoming more active, and no real surprise there. The biggest disturbance, the strongest, the one that has the most potential in the short term, will be moving into the southeastern Caribbean over the next 24 to 36 hours or so. But it's going to be very close to the coast of South America, and that proximity to land is likely to limit development, at least in the short term, and at least for the most part. There may be a little bit of a spurt today, and then as it approaches the north coast of South America later tonight through tomorrow, I would expect at most a steady trend and maybe perhaps a weakening trend. And then once it gets away from the coast of South America, it would have some potential over the southwestern Caribbean, where there could be some strengthening late in the week into the upcoming weekend before it moves into Central America. We're honing in on Guatemala, Nicaragua, perhaps, as areas that will be hit by this storm, which could become Bonnie. But it is clear that this path is going to be way to the south of Florida. So this is not an issue for Jacksonville and northeastern Florida or really any of the Gulf Coast states. So it's not going to be an issue for the U.S., but it could be and likely will be for Central America. Now, I do have a couple of other areas to watch. One is a disturbance in the far northern and northwestern Gulf of Mexico, drifting to the west-southwest. Some development is possible there before it makes landfall over South Texas or northeastern Mexico at midweek. But again, it's already moving away from Florida. It's far to the west. It's not a Florida thing. Of more interest, really, is a strong tropical wave that's moving across central Atlantic, which, by the way, what's going to possibly produce Bonnie and move into the Caribbean now, and then also this wave I'm talking about over the central Atlantic, are both strong African waves, which it's awfully early in the season to be talking about a wave train like we're seeing right now. It's usually a harbinger of an active season ahead. So it's something that we've seen in some of our busier hurricane seasons. 2005 comes to mind, 2008, 2012, 2017, would all be seasons where we had, and even to really last year too, Elsa, during an early July system that, of course, affected Northeast Florida, was an African wave. So those African waves early in the season are oftentimes indicative of a busy season. So something to keep in mind. But this central Atlantic wave will head west-northwestbound and will be in the vicinity of the Bahamas by about the 4th of July, give or take. Maybe a little slower than that. We'll see. But that one's got some potential, even though in general the forecast models aren't real excited about it. It is something we have to carefully track as it heads toward or into the southwestern Atlantic early to middle part of next week. Always more in Talking the Tropics with Mike at WOKV.com and ActionNewsJax.com. With our weather all the time, I'm Chief Meteorologist Mike Burrish from the CBS 47 at Fox 30 Action News Jax First Alert Weather Center for 104.5 WOKV.